I'd like to turn to a very well-known passage of Scripture, just one verse, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. The second book of Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, which says, I have listened to thee in an accepted time, and I have helped thee in a day of salvation. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation. Look around the world today and it looks a pretty sorry state, doesn't it? With lockdowns, shortage of certain goods, second waves, not being able to meet together, not being able to break bread, not being able to see our families, and Christmas is cancelled. And you might be forgiven for thinking that we live in very unfavourable times. And I suppose in some cases we do, but there's one big reason why we live at the moment, even in this current climate, we live in very favourable times. In fact, the Lord could call this the acceptable year of the Lord. Why? Because we're living in a time where the gospel of God's grace is being preached, and you have the opportunity tonight to come to know Jesus as your personal saviour. So despite everything going on around you, despite the negativity, the difficult times we're living in, because the gospel is still being preached, and because God's grace has extended even to this day, we can say that we live in very favourable times. And you tonight listening have the opportunity to come into God's blessing and God's favour because of what the Lord Jesus has done on that cross at Calvary. Now, many of you listening might know all about Jesus. In fact, I expect most of you could probably recite a few Bible verses and could even explain perhaps the terms of the gospel. But I don't just want you to know about Jesus. I don't just want you to know about God. I want you to know God. The Bible says this is the eternal life. Jesus said this. He said that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. And so we go back to our verse. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The very fact you're listening to this message now, the very fact you have breath in your lungs, means that you still yet have the opportunity to come into blessing. But there is an urgency to the message, and this is what I really want to bring home to you tonight. This time of blessing, this time of opportunity, will not go on forever. All throughout the Bible, God warns people of coming judgment, and there is a finite amount of time before judgment falls. Look at Noah, who preached while he built his ark, and eventually the time ran out, the rains came, and God shut the door. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a warning of judgment, and eventually it came. The Jewish people were told multiple times about coming judgment, and it was largely ignored before they were taken captive by the Babylonians and later on the Romans. And even today, God has warned that this world will soon be consumed in judgment. We look around the world at the moment, and I know many people are thinking that these are perhaps the beginning of the end times. But whatever you think, wherever you think we are on God's great timetable, you are running out of time. And yet now you have a moment to repent. You see, God has told this sinful world in no uncertain terms to repent. It comes up time and time again in Scripture. God asks men to turn back to him, to repent. It's a change of mind from your current lifestyle of sin, your embrace of sin and rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, to a rejection of sin and to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour. It says in the Bible that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Why is repentance preached to all nations? Because everybody needs to repent. God desires all men to repent because all men have sinned. Every single person listening here today has sinned. And the sins you commit are accruing. They are getting greater. That list of sins is getting greater and greater. And God, that all-knowing God, misses nothing. It says somewhere in the Old Testament, Chronicles possibly, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." He sees everything you do. It says later on in the Old Testament, "He knows your very thoughts." He says, "The very thoughts that come into your mind, I know them." Every single sin, dear friend, is being recorded. And one day, you must give an account before God. "You shall be weighed in the balance and found wanting." The book of Romans says, "Thinkest thou this, O man, that thou should escape the judgment of God?" Those who refuse to repent, those who don't turn to Christ in faith, will suffer eternal consequences. And so, dear friend, the question must be asked, why delay repentance? Why delay, dear friend? Because God promises this moment in time. He does not promise the next. You have this moment. Now is the well-accepted time so that you, dear friend, can come into blessing. God has provided in Christ a way whereby not only you can escape judgment, not only can you escape from the penalty of the sins and the sin that is inside of you, but you can come into the most wonderful of blessing. And this opportunity to take up God's free offer, free gift of grace is now. The Bible says, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart." Jesus is calling you today. We sung in our first hymn, "Jesus lingers still." Dear friend, he may have called you for many, many years. And maybe each time you've come up with a different excuse. There's a story in the Bible of a great invite. An invitation was sent out. And people came up with different excuses. And dear friend, I'm asking you the question, what's your excuse tonight? You see, the devil doesn't care if you plan to turn to Christ at some point in the future, as long as that resolution is not put into action now. There's another story in the Bible of a ruler who was preached to by Paul, and he said he was almost persuaded to become a Christian. He had an opportunity, but indifference and maybe many other different factors came into play, and he walked away from the free gift of salvation that Paul was preaching. What about the many characters that we read about in the Gospels? They had their one opportunity to say something to the Lord as he passed by. The blind man, the lepers who cried out, they took their opportunity and they found in Christ a Saviour God. And what about you? Jesus is calling you tonight. Maybe for the last time. Will you, dear friend, answer that call? Now is the well accepted time. You see, God has given everything so that you can come into blessing. God will come in judgment, but he could come in now. God could righteously judge this sinful world and our sinful lives right now. But dear friend, instead, he looked down on his creation. He looked down on us helpless, hopeless sinners, far away from God. He saw our sin. He saw our rebellion. He saw our enmity towards him. And instead of judgment, we find grace. Instead of righteous anger, we find love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God tonight has provided a way out of the coming judgment. God tonight has provided a way out of your sinful life. God tonight has provided a way out of that cycle of sin that you find yourself in, and a way in to the most tremendous blessing. And how did he do that? It cost him, dear friend, his Son. It cost him the life of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect life down here that you can read about in the four Gospels in the Bible. And he lived a perfect life, and it ended, dear friend, with him laying down his life on a cross at Calvary. He was perfect. He had no need to die, but he laid his life down, and the judgment that I deserved as a sinner fell on his head, so that God tonight has a righteous basis whereby he has saved me and can bring me into his presence. And dear friend, he can do the same for you. All you need, old friend, is to admit that you're a sinner. God knows all about you. God knows everything about your life. Everything you've said, done, thought. And he still loves you. And he still provided his son so that you could come into blessing. Oh, dear friend, don't pretend anymore. Don't pull the facade back over your life. Don't pretend that you're all right. Don't pretend, dear friend, that you've got your life sorted. Because without Christ, dear friend, there is no peace. There is no future. Dear friend, you can only find that by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour. And he's available. Come to Christ tonight. Says, I think in one of the Proverbs, he who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We're very good at concealing our sins, especially to other people. We like to think that we've got our lives sorted. We like to think that everything is hunky-dory and we're all happy. We're all good to go. Oh, but dear friends, scratch away the surface and you'll find that men and women in this world are looking and they're searching for something that cannot be given by the world. You can only find, dear friend, your satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. And then that little proverb says, whoever confesses and renounces their sins finds mercy. Dear friend, if you come tonight in the simplicity of knowing that you're a sinner, you will find in God a saviour God, somebody who will not turn you away, but will welcome you with open arms, a God who loves you, and a God who has given all to secure you. We've got that old hymn, haven't we, that says, just as I am. And that's all God requires. The simple admission that you are a sinner in need of a saviour. And that saviour is to be found in Christ himself, dying on that cross. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had to die on that cross. It says in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the debt that I had incurred through my sin had to be paid. And the debt, dear friend, that you have incurred through your sin has to be paid. Because God is a holy and a righteous God. And those sins that you've committed, those sins that you've committed ultimately against God, must be paid for. And they were paid in full by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I can stand in the presence of God knowing my sins were washed away in that blood. Another old hymn, isn't there? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, it wasn't just my individual sins that were forgiven. You know, but the very object of sin itself was judged on that cross. And God can move out tonight in blessing because of that death. And also the resurrection. Oh, the resurrection that proved that God was satisfied in the sacrifice of Christ. Paul talks in detail about the resurrection. Corinthians chapter 15, how vital the resurrection is to the message of the gospel. The reality of the Lord's resurrection is so important. He's alive and he's coming back soon. We spoke earlier on about how God will send judgment soon to this earth. It says the Father has given all judgment to the Son. But you know, for a Christian, once you come to know Christ as your Saviour, as a Christian, we're looking for the Lord to return
for his church. You know, what a hope a believer has. God gives you so much more when you come to know Christ than just the, I was going to say the simple idea. It's a profound idea of being saved from the penalty of sin, but that's just the beginning. God not only saves you from hell and judgment, God gives you his Holy Spirit, God indwelling inside of you. He gives you a new heart. He gives you entry into the very presence of himself so that we can talk to him. We have a relationship with him. We're born into sonship. We can worship. We can praise him. We're brought into this wonderful community, this wonderful company, perhaps, of people called the church, where we can live with other Christians. We can learn from other Christians. We can worship together. We can praise together. We can read the Bible together. We can talk about our love for the Lord Jesus together. And we also have a great hope that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return for his church. You know, we can look at the mess that this world is in. We can mourn the situation. We can genuinely feel for those caught up in the mess. And we can do our part in giving an answer about the hope that lies within us. But we can know that once we belong to Jesus, we belong to a different world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we are subjects of the King of the universe. And that should fill us with a sense of peace. Oh, you know what a hope we have, that we shall soon see our Saviour face to face. Many of us have perhaps been Christians for many, many years, probably a lot longer than I have. And we've heard many, many, many preachers talk about the soon return of the Lord. And each week perhaps goes by without anything changing. But think how much closer we must be now, when we shall hear his voice. We shall see his face. See those nail-scarred hands that saved us. And be ushered into the most wonderful place of blessing, where there is no more pain, where there is no more death, where there's no more tears. It says he shall wipe away our tears. And most importantly, we shall be with him forever. Heaven, dear friend, the great hope of a believer will be heaven because he is there. We will be with him forever. The Saviour that has become so precious to me, and he could become more and more precious. I look at my life and I think how little I think of the Lord Jesus. But I know, dear friend, that he is precious to me, and I know that he is precious to so many of you listening. And you will see him in actuality. And you will be like him. Dear friend, that can all be yours. If you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour tonight. To turn in repentance from your old way of life. From your sin. It says about in Thessalonians, turn to serve the living God. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. And dear friend, he's waiting tonight so that you can come into this most wonderful blessing. And dear friend, it's a decision that you will never regret. You will never look back on that moment when you became a Christian and wish it never happened. Because dear friend, no matter what happens to you in this life, it is in no way comparable to the great hope that we have. And dear friend, even in this life, we have a shepherd, we have a friend, we have a guide who is able to lead us through every single step of the pathway. You know, in the Bible, there's another today. We started with our verse in Corinthians about now is the well-accepted time. We looked at today in Hebrews, today if you will hear his voice. But there's another today mentioned in the Bible. And it's not just about salvation from your sins. Because in Joshua it says, choose you this day who you will serve. Now in the gospel there's no choice.
with salvation. The Bible says you must be born again. It says in Acts, whereby ye must be saved. But as Christians, we make a choice each day about how we live our lives. And I just want to leave you with this thought. It says in Joshua, choose you this day who you'll serve. And I wonder, who have you served today? Have you served God by the power of the indwelling spirit? Or have you let your fears, temptations, worries, sins take over and take control? We can only serve one master, and the words in Joshua echo down through the ages. Choose you this day who you will serve. God would desire, dear friend, your whole life. God would desire you to surrender over every single part of your life. And I wonder, is there a bit of my life that I'm keeping back from myself? Maybe a sin I'm holding on to. Maybe something that I don't entirely want to give over to God. Maybe I can't completely commit myself into the service of God. Dear friend, tonight I just challenge my own heart and challenge yours. Choose you this day who you will serve. We perhaps don't have very long left on this world. We perhaps look around and we see the signs and the times, and I don't want to get into too much of a detail about that. But dear friend, the Lord Jesus is coming. There is a limited time left. You need to be safe by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. But dear believer, we need to spend the rest of our time down here in the service of God. God would have us to do some work for Him, however great or small that would be. And you think about what God has given so that we could come into blessing. We can in no way repay that. But dear friends, we have a responsibility as Christians to be in the service of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for His name's sake.